Blog Talk Radio.
You're live, Rivers. You're live, Rivers. Good afternoon. Go ahead, Miracle Man. Go ahead, Miracle Man. Hey, you're live. Go ahead. Talk.
Okay. Rivers is talking right now. Can you hear him?
I cannot hear him, no.
Really? Still nothing?
Nothing.
Oh, he says he can hear you.
All right. I'm going to hang him up and he can call back in.
Do you hear me now?
You're live, Miracle Man.
Do you hear me now? Do you hear me now? Do you hear me?
I can hear you. You're live. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to this Friday, this week edition of The Preacher and the Miracle Man. We're so glad you could join us and be with us wherever you may be and however you may be listening. It's an honor to be with you. We love you. Now, we had technical difficulties a minute ago. However, in general, we have gotten that fixed, except for I'm hearing some feedback. So if we can get that fixed. So, praise God, we're glad to have you with us. And I'm going to get right into the meat now because we're starting a bit late. So the plan for tonight's show is this. I have 1 Samuel with me, and I'm going to read tonight about how God calls Samuel. God calling Samuel. So that's what I'm going to read about tonight, as well as the Hebrews 11:13, going all the way down to Hebrews 12:2. So Hebrews 11:13. To Hebrews 12:2, as well as 1 Samuel chapter 3. So, with that, I'm going to pray. Then I'm going to open the Word. I also have lots of basketball stuff to get to tonight. I have Michigan and Michigan State Big Ten tournament stuff. I have Midland High and Dow High stuff for basketball, girls basketball. I have Pistons stuff, and I have a little bit of Red Wing stuff. So all of that coming your way later on. So now, word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the show. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless the show and you bless the people who come on and listen to it. I thank you, Lord God, that you have your way in these people. You are the one who has your, you are the one, Lord God, who runs the show. I thank you, Lord God, that you're with me, that you're anointing my lips and showing me what you would have me say. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are the ultimate person who runs the show. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's open up our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Praise God. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And for those of you who don't know, yes, I am at McDonald's, and Coca-Cola is the best soft drink in the world. Just thought I'd throw that in while I'm turning in my Bible. Now, folks, here's how you can get the most out of the show. This is a good way to help you get some real good things out of the show. And that is to follow along with us. So whatever I do here at McDonald's, you do there, wherever you are. So basically what this means is the following. I'm going to start reading in just a second. In fact, I'm going to start reading after I start saying these couple sentences. When we study the Bible, you study the Bible. When I'm exhorting, pay attention. If I pray, if we pray, you pray. If we start singing, you sing. And that's the way we do this. And that's how you can get the most out of the show. And that way it can have that much more of an impact on your life. Now, this is about the Lord calling Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we begin with verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In these days, the word of the Lord was rare. There was not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. But God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Or today, as we would all say it, this kid would be like, "Mom, I'm talking to a little kid. Joey, it's 4:30 in the morning. Go back to bed." But he said, "Go back and lie down." So he went, and he laid back down. After the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up again and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called to Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. And it was not Samuel, it was not Eli. So Eli told him, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times to Samuel, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At the time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against the family from beginning to end, for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin they knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it that he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything that he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what seems good in his eyes." Hang on, I'm not done. The Lord was with Samuel, and he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And I'm going to read that first verse of chapter 4. "And Samuel's word came to all Israel." All right, now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to begin in verse 13. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, if you know tongues, if you're filled with the Spirit, pray in tongues on your way over there. And if you're not filled, ask the Lord to fill you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're going to start with verse 13. I'm actually going to remind you of something from a previous verse. That is, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please God. Now, I just want you to think about that as we read these verses together. And all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are longing for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned at the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. And by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was dead. He was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who was invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. When they tried to do so, they were drowned, the Egyptians. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Powerful. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now, the first two verses of 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, for a minute, let's talk about that Samuel dude. So, God called Samuel 4 times, 3 different times. The first 3 times, all of the first 3 times, in fact, Samuel sat there on his bed. No, he didn't. Excuse me. The first 3 times, he got up, went straight to Eli, said, "Here I am, Eli, you called me." And all 3 times he basically said, "You know, I didn't call you. Go lay down." After the 3rd time, he said, "It's probably God that's calling you." He goes back and lies down. The voice comes again, and sure enough, it is God calling him. And what did he tell him? Well, as we read, it was a call of judgment that Samuel received from God. And he was destined to be a prophet. Judgment was basically, I'm going to do something that's going to make the people of Israel tingle. Their ears are going to tingle. Everyone who hears it. And it was total judgment. Folks, a day of judgment is coming. And we need to be ready. We need to make sure that we know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Do you want to give your life to Christ right now? You can call us at 215-383-3810. And we'll gladly help. Let's think about something. Hophni and Phinehas, they were very wicked people. And the house of Eli. That, when he was talking about how the house of Eli, how their sins wouldn't be atoned, it was because of Hophni and Phinehas, who were very, very, very wicked, evil men. Now, let's get into our world of sports for the evening. Let's begin with Michigan State basketball. Yes. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, Preacher Man.
Hey, I'm not going to be able to be with you the whole show, but I can for a few minutes right now. And of course, quite naturally, you were talking tonight, you know, about one of my favorite stories in the Bible.
Yes.
This is a man named Samuel.
Yep.
Whom I was named after. And my mom and dad asked for a son and got me.
Yeah.
Named me Samuel after that story. I think the most powerful part of that story to me is that God will speak to an 8-year-old child to change the nation if the 8-year-old child will learn to hear God's voice.
Yep.
That is all that Eli taught Samuel to do, was hear God's voice and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening."
Exactly. And that 8-year-old kid, just that 8-year-old, and he was just a little 8-year-old kid. most of our kids today, when they're 8, they're worried about, too often they're worried about some other things more than God. But this kid, you know, he said, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." And Eli taught Samuel how to hear the voice of God. He was able to help change the nation. And then he ended up being a king. I mean, he ended up leading. He was the prophet.
He was the prophet. Yes, he was. Think about what you just read, because God was judging Eli.
Yes, he was.
God judged Eli because he allowed his sons to be so wicked. And yet, even in the midst of God judging Eli for his actions or lack of actions, he still used Eli to teach Samuel how to hear God's voice.
There is a reason why his mother and father sent him to Eli.
Yep.
There's a reason. Apparently it's how God wanted it. And he lived at the temple.
His mama said, "I'll give him to you at a young age if you give me a boy." And she was an obedient mama. And, I think of the verse of Scripture that says, "And God did not let any word that Samuel had spoken fall to the ground."
None of
that's a pretty powerful. That's a powerful statement.
Yes.
I can't grab the reference for you right now exactly where that's at, but that's a very, very powerful statement. And the thing that all of us can learn from it, no matter where you are, learn to hear God's voice and walk with God. In Jesus' mighty name.
And every pastor has to learn this. Every prophet. You preacher, you had to learn this.
Yep.
And as Christians, we need to hear this. We need to learn this.
Yep.
So we can hear exactly what God's trying to say to us. And learn how to have keen ears for the Holy Ghost.
You know, Dr. Oral Roberts used to say all the time, God is a speaking spirit, and so is man. Therefore, the two of them can hear each other's voice. Remember Dr. Evans? Prayer has a voice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, brother, I'm headed to work, so you're doing a fantastic job, man. Keep the faith.
Yep. And I'm
all right.
And I'm going to thank you so much. Now for our sports update. Before I start giving scores or anything like that, I will say that this sports portion has been brought to you by the MHSAA, who reminds us that sportsmanship is always a good idea. Sportsmanship is always what's most important from sporting events. Sportsmanship is always important. So if you go into basketball games this weekend or any time within the next several weeks, please practice good sportsmanship. Good sportsmanship. Don't boo at the refs. Don't do things that you shouldn't be doing anyway if you're a Christian. So basically, I would sum it up two ways. Number one, act as a good sport, like how any good fan should act. And number two, be a Christian. Be a Christian. Don't curse at the refs. Don't do these other things. I was at a Midland Dow, at a Dow High basketball game a couple of weeks ago. I was there thinking it was going to be the Midland game, but it wasn't. I saw a person get kicked out of the Dow High gym for cursing at a ref. So let's behave ourselves as fans if we go to these games. And that's brought to you by the MHSAA, which is Michigan's High School Athletic Association, who believes in educational athletics, and it is also a winning part of a complete education, is what they say. With that, let's begin with some high school basketball. On Wednesday night, here in our local district area, you had Saginaw Heritage blowing past Midland High with a score of 62-22. Not a great night for the Chemics at all, as they were outplayed on all sides of the ball. They basically became a running clock quickly after halftime. So not the way Midland would want to end their season. And Coach Jaden Cloves, Dow High, great win over Bay City Western, 68-25. Tonight, Dow High is playing Saginaw Heritage for the girls' title, district title, so they can then go on to pre-regionals, I believe it is. Pre-regionals, yes, pre-regionals. Boys play starts next week, and I will have those scores and games next week. Let's talk Michigan State and Michigan. Yesterday, Michigan lost to Iowa in the opener of the Big Ten Championship, 64-61. Today, Michigan State moves on with a win over Wisconsin, a big, important win for Michigan State, very important. They were down at one point by like 5 points and with like 8 minutes into the second half. And then they go on a 7-0 run to help them seal the deal. Now, Wisconsin tried to tie it a couple times, and they tied it a couple times, but ultimately Michigan State was victorious 63-60 on a great day from Miles Bridges, along with other wonderful contributors. Michigan State plays again tomorrow. If Michigan State is able to win the championship game, if they're able to win the Big Ten Championship as a tournament, which I predict that they will, then Michigan State would likely be a one seed in the NCAA tournament, which will begin within a couple weeks. Now, let's talk about the Pistons. On Wednesday night, your Detroit Pistons got a nice 108-86 win over the Milwaukee Bucks with a fantastic effort from the bench, who scored over 40 points. Andre Drummond did have 16 points, 18 rebounds, so, double-double. Nothing new for him, but it's great that we're able to keep having him have those for us, the double-doubles. I don't want no double-doubles at all. none. I'd curse those things to the ground. That was double, but double doubles. He had a double-double, and he's had many of those for our Pistons, who are now 3 games out of the 8th game, 8th seed for the playoffs. Red Wings got a good one a couple nights ago. Both teams play this weekend. I expect both of them to pick up some good wins. And Matt Patricia, I feel like he's going to help make our Lions a nice, good, great team next year. Tigers have some preseason games this weekend, one of which you'll be able to hear on 104.9 WQBS, QBX, and AM 790 WSCW. Folks, I speak Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, for you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no evil person, no evil thing, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, and no disease, no active shooter, none of this evil stuff is going to come near us in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray right now for over in Mount Pleasant. I pray that in the name of Jesus that they find this man who killed both of his parents in that shooting that caused those schools to be locked down. That's Central Michigan University. And I claim that they find him and that justice is served now. And I thank you, Lord God, that you keep all of us safe. And I thank you for our police, for our servicemen and women, our men in blue, our Army, our Navy, Marines, everyone who tries to keep us safe, who works to keep us safe. And I thank you, Lord God, for being with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I'll see you all on Monday.